Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Main Green Nation podcast. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did. I ate a lot of good food. I enjoyed time with my family. And I'm a Cowboys fan, so, I mean, Thanksgiving Day worked out pretty well for me. The obvious disappointment came yesterday at about, 4 o'clock Central Time, when it was clear that North Texas was not going to be able to stop Aaron Jones, running back extraordinaire. We lost to UTEP 54-24, and now our bowl hopes rest upon the largesse of a random bowl. Hey, Arizona Bowl. Hey, Cure Bowl. Do you need a fill-in? Do you need a guy? We know a guy. Ladies and gentlemen, with me, as usual, Mr. Aldo, how you doing this Thanksgiving weekend?
Oh, great. Thanksgiving was fun. Saw a lot of family. You know, same old, just like everybody else. Ate a lot of turkey.
Yeah. I gotta have a reason to go to the gym, and I gave myself a reason. I just ate all the food. Oh, yeah, I'm so fat now. All right, yeah, so it was pretty disappointing. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're a diehard fan. Generally, most people do that thing where they're like, you know what, I can't listen to the radio. I can't watch SportsCenter after my team loses. I can't. North Texas doesn't really hit SportsCenter very often, so, I mean, maybe you just avoid the podcast. All right, so let's just talk about it. We'll talk through it. We'll get over it that way. I'm not really that disappointed in that loss. I don't know, but like, if there's a single reason. I don't know about you. Because it was kind of like, I never really thought it could happen, I guess.
The loss or the win?
I never thought the win could happen. Like, I had an uneasy feeling about it from all week, basically. I was kind of thinking about it off and on, like, okay, it's like a huge opportunity. But I didn't like, in the preview, I wrote that it's a trap game, that UTEP is playing, they're like a cornered animal, you know? They are a talented team, and by that I meant Aaron Jones, but they have a couple other guys that have some talent. They're talented, they're playing for their coach's life, they're at home, you know, it's senior day. There are just too much of these reasons for them to play well, and the only two reasons for North Texas to play well were that it was an opportunity to get 6 wins to a bowl game. And that's kind of it, you know? And I don't know if I liked it. And I was kind of explaining it to a family member. I was like, so UTEP ceiling is kind of up here. We'll just say 10 because I'm doing a hand motion. You can't see that. you know, it's a podcast.
And North Texas, his hand is really high, y'all.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for helping me out. And so North Texas ceiling is somewhere like maybe a 5, right? That's if everything goes well, and luck goes our way. So it's, you know, like we've seen it. We've seen in the best game North Texas has played offensively, they don't score 38 points, you know? It doesn't happen. And UTEP, we've seen them go off. And they scored, you know, I know it was like 52 against UTSA, but like they have guys that can explode. Aaron Jones is really good. Like if it came down to it, like can we stop Aaron Jones late in the game? I don't know if that's possible because the guy's really, really good. And I think we saw that. And I also don't think the defense played to their top level. What are your immediate impressions of that loss?
Like you said, the defense played terribly, and the offense wasn't able to overcome. Wasn't able to, you know, Alec Morris or Willie Ivory wasn't able to put the game on their back to keep us in the game.
Yeah, we don't have that guy. There's nobody, like maybe Jeff Wilson, maybe. Like he has like an extra kind of gear, but not even so much. If you look at last year, and I know you want to talk about last year compared to this one. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Jeff Wilson had 700-800 yards, whatever it was last year. But he only scored one touchdown. Like, he had some big games, but his biggest games were like 120, 130 yards. Aaron Jones this season has eclipsed 200 yards multiple times. Like every other game, he has a 50-yard run. Like that's a dude that you can just say, "Well, nothing else is working. Please score us a touchdown." We don't have that guy, and I think it's easy to get frustrated at the offense. At Alec Morris, I've seen a lot of the message board posts or the tweets like, "Oh, this quarterback's terrible." I'm like, I mean, I think we've seen enough of him to know what he can, what his, you know, potential is, and it's not very high. And I was happy, and I wrote this in the preview too. I don't like being right sometimes. That North Texas offense doesn't really need to play amazing. We're looking for them to play average to the season, like season average, which is like 24 points, you know, 350 yards, four or five scoring drives, right? Two touchdowns, a couple field goals, you know, maybe three touchdowns, two field goals. That'll be ideal, like what they did against Louisiana Tech, 24 points. We were happy with that. Last week, what did they have, 29 points? But two of that was the safety, so they had 27. Yeah, I mean, like, just something reasonable that you can win a game with, because the defense, for the most part, has been able to win games if they've had support. This one, you know, this is the one where the defense needed some help, and there's nobody to give it to them. Not even the special teams. Eric Kina fumbled.
Not even Kina. Come on, Kina.
I don't think he's going to win the Heisman now, guys. So, I think the immediate question is, like, did they not have no heart? What's wrong with them? They suck. There's got to be answers. I don't know. Like, the day after Thanksgiving game, if you've kind of watched college football for any amount of time, that's where there's always weird stuff happens. And I think I just point to the list of scores where there were two games where they went over 130 points or something like that. Three teams scored 70-plus points. There were some crazy games. Crazy scores. Weird stuff happens on the weekend.
Record got broken.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I didn't really like that record. Was it 2008? 2007?
Seven, I think.
Yeah. North Texas versus Navy scored, what, 74 against us, and we had 62 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a ridiculous game. There was like, there's no defense here. I think I'm becoming a curmudgeon, dude, in that I see these scores and I kind of get a little angry. I'm like, what? Somebody plays with you.
This isn't basketball.
Yeah, like, I literally could not tell. This. It was like 77 to 63. I was like, Middle Tennessee played a game? They played basketball today? Like, who would it, you know what I mean? Like, they're already in conference play? What's going on here? Yeah, I don't really like that. I think I'm getting a little curmudgeonly. I mean, I was a big fan of offense when it finally people started opening things up, because I grew up in my football life when like 31 to 24 was a high scoring game. And, you know, I was like, yeah. I mean, I watched the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense. They would win games 3-0, right? They won two games 3-0, 3-6. I'm like,
Trent Dilfer sucked.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, come on, guys. Somebody score a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Let's open up the offense a little bit. Let's get some things going. But, yeah, I don't know if I want to see a basketball game on the football field. All right, maybe that's just me. Back to the game.
Weird well, stuff happens. Speaking of a basketball score.
Yeah. Are they playing Hartford right now? Or are they going to?
No, I'm talking about the UTEP score. 52 points.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That you get one of those. It's just a crazy game. Thanksgiving Day games are crazy. It's weird. People are traveling. I think it's weird. I don't know. So I always expect the unexpected there. When I was looking at this game, I was like, there's too much weirdness going on. I don't like it. I don't feel good about it. And lo and behold, we got that. I think the offense has been would you say scrutinized all year? Have they been scrutinized?
They've been, you know, you've seen comments of, well, I thought this was supposed to be an air raid team. And mm-hmm. I mean, they still are an air raid team. Mm-hmm. You got air raid plays like the mesh. You got the smash. You got all those plays. But we don't have the talent in the passing game like we have in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we've been feeding Ivory. We've been feeding Wilson because they're the ones that are able to open it up for the passing game. I was tweeting about this, and they were attacking the edges with Ivory, and then they were attacking the edges with Morris until it opened up something big over the middle for Thaddeus to finally, get big chunks. And like I said, that we're a team that spreads the defense horizontally. We're still air raid. It's just we need more talent in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, and that is pretty much in every spot, from the line, from the center snap and the ball. Maybe even we need new footballs, maybe even that. but we need a better line, a more experienced line, a better coached line, I guess. Better quarterback play, more experienced quarterback play, better receivers, more experienced, more talented, more explosive receivers. Yeah, we need all new parts, man. We need an overhaul in the roster, and that includes maybe you replace a part with the same part, you know what I mean, like maybe Mason Fine gets better. I'm not saying cut everybody, you get my point. And I think that we can maybe answer a question here. Friend of the show, Billy Sierra 16 on the Twitter, says, or he asks, do you buy the idea that bowl practice makes a difference with long-term development for young players? It didn't seem to help with 2014. I'd say, generally speaking, yes. For a coach and a team and some young players, yes. For that 2014 team under Canales and McCarney and company, maybe not, because they used to be good development coaches. I don't know. They didn't do a good job there towards the end developing players. I think all you have to do is look at the quarterback depth chart, and then that's evident. Maybe even the receivers too, because I don't think Turner Smiley ever really improved over his time here.
He's made the same mental mistakes game in, game out.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, it's basically whoever you were, you had like baseline improvement, like default improvement, just from experience, and not necessarily like, this guy's getting better in this system, or he's learning to be a better football player at North Texas. So, I mean, I don't think it helped us then because of that.
We also graduated a lot of talent going from 2014 to 2015. And we didn't, the big criticism with McCarney is that he didn't let the young guys play. So maybe those young guys weren't getting the practice reps that they needed.
Yeah, some of that was like he didn't let the young guys play. He also didn't get the greatest young guys, at least, again, in the quarterback department. Just because you have an opportunity doesn't mean you take full advantage of it, or anybody takes full advantage of it. Having practice doesn't necessarily make you a better team. Just like having an opportunity to win and having things to play for doesn't necessarily make you play better. So, yeah, I think it's generally good. I think for this team, with a lot of young players, they'll get more reps in practice. I think, was it Elijah McIntyre? There was a story about him that they said they rep a lot of dudes in practice, and he showed some things, and so they felt good about him playing. That's good. Just a little bit more bowl season practice, that's good. And it'll carry over to the next season. And you hear a lot of coaches say that, yeah, bowl season practices are really, really great, and they wouldn't trade them for anything. Because it's like clear, dedicated practice. It's not like some of the other school or some of the other stuff going on. So, yes, I say the answer is yes. I buy it. Do you buy it?
I buy it.
All right, cool. We're in agreement here. Okay, so let's quickly go through this game. I don't really want to talk about it. I don't know how much. I feel like it's kind of an anomaly. Again, if we move this game to, if we swap the week with Rice, right, where UTEP got destroyed by Rice and, we played Southern Miss. If you swap those games, I think we beat up on UTEP, and I think Southern Miss kicks our ass. It kind of was a timing thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think we had, like I mentioned in the podcast last week, is that we beat all the bad teams that we're supposed to beat, tried to hang in with the average teams and couldn't do anything with the elite teams.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of the roller coaster that we had was we looked really good against the bad teams. And I guess UTEP's not a bad team.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, they were playing like they were a bad team all year. But then, I mean, I don't know. Like, some of it was, like, pride, right? They just got their asses handed to them by Rice. By Rice. Rice is a bad team, and they're playing bad. So you're like, well, how did we lose to the worst team in the conference? You know, it may be, you know, like, maybe they could have just checked out. And I think that's a credit to their coaching staff and their players and everybody. Like, they said, you know what? No. We're going to go out with a bang. We're not going to, you know, get embarrassed on our home field. And they talked about it in the preview. Sean Coogler was saying, yeah, we want to spoil their bowl bid. We don't want North Texas celebrating on our field. So, you know, credit to them. They played hard. And they, I think, like I said, they played to their ceiling. They touched a little bit of what they could have been. Coming into the year, I was like, UTEP is probably going to be pretty good. They're going to make some noise. They have some talent. I wouldn't be surprised to see them challenge Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss in this conference. That obviously didn't happen. But you can see spurts here and there of them playing like the team everybody thought they were going to play like. So I guess the answer is maybe they were more elite than we gave them credit for, at least late in the season. But I don't think anybody saw this coming. I was talking to some of the UTEP fans and their bloggers. I'm like, I thought I had a handle, and I still think I have a handle on North Texas football. Like, I kind of get it. I kind of see how they play. But I just don't know, UTEP, what's up? And you're like, you know what? I was watching this game, and this doesn't help me understand my own team any better either. So
I think, and I might be jumping ahead, but the UNT defense got out-schemed.
Yeah, I think so, too. I saw some of that. It's really hard to tell because that broadcast was god awful. At various times, like the angle, like, you know, I guess in their defense, and I was trying not to be like a complete a-hole about this. In their defense, I think some of the camera work was intentional, in that the problem may have lied with like the director, whoever was directing the broadcast, because, you know, all those amazing shots you see on even ESPN. Or cut together by the director. Like, the guy's, like, zooming in, and then he has to adjust. So he, like, zooms out and kind of scopes around the stadium, looks at the crowd, zooms in on a pretty girl, right? And then the director's like, that's a great shot. Zoom in. Let's go to cut to that one. This one, they're just kind of lingering, like, looking to the cheerleaders, like, who do I stare at? And, you know, I don't know why they just had it on the broadcast.
Yeah, I think they were slow to cut from, you know, the shot of the empty end zone seats to some other camera.
Yeah, I think he did that to kind of adjust the white balance. And because he was like zooming in trying to get the white balance to adjust. And that's what I'm saying. Again, that's a problem with the direction, you know, the broadcast direction, the producer.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so another problem that I saw on TV was, you know, there was no down and distance. There was no play clock. So there were a lot of little factors that were really making the experience watching that very poor. And I think it's something that, I mean, I think the whole experience or the whole deal with Conference USA TV streaming is awesome. Yes. It's very inexpensive. Yes. It's great. It needs a little bit more rigorous guidelines, kind of like ESPN3 has guidelines. Mm-hmm. I think they need to issue some guidelines to the school.
Totally agree. And, you know, like the thing is with any kind of broadcast deal, if they're going to do it themselves, I think there's room, there's opportunity there to make it a really good thing. To use an extreme example that maybe only is like tangentially related, but Major League Baseball, was it their productions, their streaming squad, made themselves into like a whole entity that's, you know, very valuable because of they solved a lot of streaming problems and a lot of streaming technology. HBO Go, a lot of places use it. ESPN3, I think Disney tried to buy them or something, or they invested like 40% in them. And I think that's, I think the lesson there is like that Conference USA has an opportunity to, you know, really make something great here, because if they work on it and make it awesome. I think right now it's like sidearm sports or whatever they're doing, but you know, there's an opportunity there. You can, you know, like it needs broadcasters, it needs graphics, it needs, there's solutions, you know, that could be you know, solved by people within the universities, students,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
And
they can make it better.
It doesn't have to be, you know, like Pac-12 TV. It doesn't have to be the Longhorn Network. But I think if all the schools, like you were saying, invest a little bit in it, it's going to make a really good product that can, you know, rival the other TV networks.
Yeah, and I think right now you can kind of see the disparity. Like, North Texas is better than the other ones, and I think that's because North Texas has a really great RTVF program. I think Middle Tennessee's broadcasts are pretty decent. You can see, but there's no standard, like you said, right? There could be some information sharing. Like, hey, guys, like, make it a true conference, you know what I mean? Like, the SEC tries to make the SEC great. So if you watch an SEC broadcast, you're like, sweet. I know it's going to be something similar. I know a lot of that has to do with ESPN or something like that, but, you know, we can do it ourselves. Anyway, there's a mini rant there. Did we get out-schemed? It looked like it from the low angle of their ankles that I could see. I was like, that ankle looks like it's in his run fit. Sean Coogler is a really good offensive line coach, and I think you can tell, you can see that in UTEP and their offensive line. Again, North Texas' defensive line is not one of our strengths. We're good-ish. We played well, but they're still slightly undersized outside of one or two guys. And, you know, there's still a lot of moving parts on the defense. I think sometimes we get a little too hot-headed, and Seth Luttrell has also mentioned this a couple times, the fact that sometimes you get guys trying to make a play and not necessarily doing their job. From my angle, and again, I couldn't tell because there were no replays, and the camera was zoomed in. Yeah, on their belt. So it's kind of hard to see what they're looking at. But it looked like guys were just slightly out of position. And you make a small mistake like that with a guy like Aaron Jones, with maybe only Aaron Jones in this conference, and then, you know, he destroys you. That was the case. They couldn't run him down, so what do you do? Like, you let him get through the hole, or you let him break a tackle, and then all of a sudden you have to chase him down, and you can't do that because he's too fast. Like, that's what happens. I'm less angry about all that than I am that the tight end broke a 72-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, that was where some bad tackling and some poor play in the secondary was evident. I don't know what you do. The defense did not play well. There's not really much else to talk about there. And the thing, they played hard. There were other plays where they got stopped, so you can't even be like, oh man, they just were giving up 7-8 yards a rush. This is better in a way. Like, okay, we just kept giving up the same home run every time. It's not like we were just giving up, you know, singles and doubles all the time. Like, you know what I mean? That's worse. I think a team that drives 90 yards and, you know, in 8 plays really efficiently, gets first downs on second down every time, that's bad. That's the team that you're like, ugh, we're awful. This team was hitting big plays. 72 yards, 83 yards, 48 yards, 58 yards. Those are bad. Nobody wants to say, oh, well, here's the thing. But that's the kind of, when you have a bad game with this kind of defense, this attacking defense, those are the kind of plays you're going to give up. You look at SMU, right? Those big plays there when we're trying to figure things out. They even hit a couple big runs. You look at Western Kentucky, same deal. You look at even Middle Tennessee late in the game when we're trying to get that desperation stop. And what's his name? Richard James III popped a, you know, long run on us. This is kind of what happens. So I'm like, yeah, defense played bad. They're not in their spots, in their positions. I don't know. Other people tweeted, oh, this team quit. I don't know. I couldn't tell a team quit. Just like, what? What is it? What is the indicator that you say, like, that team quit because they got beat? If LeBron James dunks on me, did I quit? No. Maybe LeBron James is just too good. I don't know.
No, I agree. This team didn't quit. I mean, they tried to play. They tried to win. They were just out of position, and that's all we can say is that they were out of position. Aaron Jones or Aaron Jones kept finding a hole, just one little hole. And by the time he hit the second level, there was nobody there to tackle him until he hit Keyshawn McClain or another cornerback or another safety that would miss a tackle or be so out of place that it's a foot race. You know, you got to have somebody there to be able to tackle him. And if you're not there, then that means the scheme was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is like when you put so much pressure, they've talked about it a lot. When it works well, you're like, wow, look at this. We're going to bring pressure and we're going to tell our corners to man up one-on-one. And you're like, this is a great defense. Wow, look at that. In your face, tough, challenging you every time. But then when the receivers are winning those one-on-one battles, then you're like, wow, this is going to get roasted. We're going to get toasted every time, you know? Mm-hmm. Every defense, every scheme has a weakness. And when it gets exploited, it looks like the worst defense ever. It happens to everybody. When Nick Saban was getting sliced up by Johnny Manziel, you're like, whoa, what's the problem? You know, like I think maybe now Alabama's defense is probably the one assemblage of talent and scheme that maybe I think they haven't allowed a touchdown in the month of November or something ridiculous like that. So, I don't know. It's the problem in this game, I think a really good team, and North Texas is not a good team. A good team has, you know, like the different units support each other different ways. Like, you know, sometimes the defense carries a load, but the offense, at any time, if they have a good game, they can maybe score 40 points. You know what I mean? You can trade blows. But North Texas offense is lucky if we're excited if they're not committing holding penalties. You know what I mean? So, like I said, there's not really I don't know. To a fan, you got to give every unit a bad game, a bad day at the office. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes they're just not good enough. That happens. That's fine. And we got to remember that this team, the three phases, are not good enough to overcome mistakes anywhere. And I think you can kind of hear that in Seth Luttrell's voice. What answer do you have? There's no more cards to play. If you built your first line of defense and say, if they cross this, it's over, and they cross it easily, you're like, well, I don't know, it's over. There's nothing to do. There's no other cards to play. There's no change. You can't. What is it to do? There's nothing. There's not even a whole lot of depth in the defense to be like, you know what, Eric Jenkins, you're getting roasted. Let me sub. Well, we can't. Sorry, never mind. You know?
Mm-hmm. Ashton Preston. Put in your true freshman, LeMasters or something.
Yeah, it's like the change maybe makes it worse. So, I don't know. And that's what I'm saying. It's hard to look at the coaching staff and be like, you guys really let us down. I'm like, nah, I think a lot of people made the comment that last year this team would have actually quit. They would have gave up. And you could see that. Watched games, looking on the sideline. Guys were not even, didn't even care. We've heard stories from people that are like, yeah, there's people on the team that are like, hey, mom, don't tell people that I'm on a football team. Just say I'm like on a basketball team or something. Like that happened. And I mean, I get it. You didn't want to hear that, but I mean, I get it. Nobody wanted to be associated with that. And they were just like, ugh, we're just kind of going through the motions. And you can see all evidence of that. You don't really see that in this team. This team's mostly together. They're all kind of pulling in one direction.
Yeah, I agree. The cohesion is way better than it was last season. And you can see that in the record. You can see that through the coaching, through the number of touchdowns scored. It's a big difference from last year.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that because I don't really want to talk about the UTEP game anymore. I mean, it was over. I guess what I can say, Willie Ivey was pretty good. He was pretty great. I'm glad to see the pass game reach a level of consistency that is good for them, but not. I mean, overall for the future, it's not really great. I mean, but they're hitting 200 yards pretty regularly. I guess I don't even think he made 200 yards, but They're moving the ball. They have one or two good drives in them, and I'm glad to see that. So let's compare it. Last season, you looked at the stats, the gross totals.
Yeah, so let's talk receiving, kind of receiving and passing at the same time. So last year, we had a little over 1,900 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns.
Right.
This year, we're sitting at almost 2,400 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns again. So while, you know, the scoring didn't improve, definitely the yardage improved, but quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was the biggest disappointment this season. We thought the pass game would be improved, and I guess it is in, like, the efficiency stats, because I think what DeMarcus Smith was, he threw, like, he completed, like, 46% of his passes or something ridiculous like that. So that's a lot of, that's one of the reasons why I think the team has scored more, just because they've move the ball, like, you know.
Yeah, and I'll go through the three quarterbacks: DeMarcus Smith, McNulty, and Greer. It was 46% or 47 if you round up, 48% and 35%.
God.
So that was terrible. Compared to this year, you've got Mason Fine at 59.4%, which he had some games where he was hitting 70%, 60%, which means he had some other bad games. And then Alec Morris with 53.7. And I see a stat line for Shanbor here.
He had one pass, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a couple games ago, I forget. I think it might have been against Western Kentucky.
Had no idea.
Yeah. I think the thing is, like, I think we should talk about the rush yards first. So we're down, right, this season, yardage totals?
The yardage, we are down. This year was 1,600. Last year was 1,900. So it's a 300-yard swing.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Because, like, there are a couple games where DeMarcus Smith led the team in rushing. So we were really good rushing the ball. I think we were hitting over 200 yards a game there for a while. But some of that was, hey, you're down 30, and you can't pass worth anything. So, you know. You can run the ball, but you're still not going to come back. It was kind of just that kind of thing.
So yeah, DeMarcus Smith had Willie Ivory numbers. To put it into perspective.
Yeah, and that was great because we were like, you know what? If we can't run, we can't pass. Let's just run the ball. I think last year my big mantra was like, give the ball to Jeffrey Wilson. If that doesn't work, give the ball to DeMarcus Smith to run the ball. And then play action off of those two things. We should just run the inverted veer the whole time. And, that's why we only won one game.
Yeah. Well, also, last year we ran for 7 touchdowns. This year we ran for 23.
Yeah. That's a
huge improvement.
Yeah. I think it goes to show that, like, statistics are all, like, circumstantial. I think these same stats on another team are less than 5 wins, and if we had a different set of circumstances, like if we had a softer schedule, I saw somewhere that North Texas had one of the toughest schedules in the conference. And I think some of that is because we played Western Kentucky. Like, Western Kentucky is going to have the easiest schedule because they're Western Kentucky, you know, and they're facing everybody else that sucks. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I mentioned this on the Go Mean Green board that I was watching Charlotte, rooting for Charlotte, like, because I haven't been following closely the number of teams that need to not become bowl eligible so we can become bowl eligible. And we'll talk about that in a second. So I was rooting for Charlotte, trying to squash UTSA's 6-win hopes. And I was thinking, man, Charlotte's still not that great this season. They've had a better season than we thought they were going to have. I think they got to 4 wins. They almost beat Middle Tennessee last week. And if they would have done that, this game would have been like a battle for bowl eligibility. It would have been pretty cool. And I was thinking, you know what? We're probably going to play Charlotte next year. And they're going to be a little bit better. I know they're really losing. Good. Yeah, I know they're losing some guys from their original team. But, yeah, I was like, watch them be really good next year, and that's when we play up. Not the 2 years that UTSA got them, and which was basically easy wins. They had, like, expansion teams on their schedule. And yeah, we had the best team in the conference.
Yeah, WKU and Marshall. Well, that was last year. Yeah. But Yeah, we had a tough schedule. We did have the toughest schedule in the conference, while ODU had the easiest.
Yeah, and ODU got to, what, 9 wins this season?
9 wins, yeah.
Yeah, that's good for them. I mean, again, for the good of the conference, it's fine to have traditional powers. It's fine to have West Kentucky, a team we used to beat upon in the Sun Belt, as, you know, good teams. And then you have, like, a rotating cast of like, every few years they jump up and bite you kind of thing. That would be fine. I'd like for North Texas to be a traditional power, obviously. And I think it's well within reason. It's certainly possible to jump up and bite somebody every few years.
Yeah, certainly. You want to be regarded as the, you know, the Southern Miss or the La Tech of the division.
Yeah.
Not the FIU or the FIU.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams in this conference that people say, well, you know, with that recruiting talent base around there, they really could be something. They just need the right coach, and you know. So it's hard to look to get excited about anybody's predictions about turnarounds. Like, was it Butch Davis going to FIU?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same thing. Like, let's see if we can get some guys into FIU that don't violate recruiting standards and turns that team around. It's possible he's done it before, but I mean, he did it in what, the 90s. He did it in the early 2000s. I mean, it's 2016, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see about that. I mean, obviously I think we can kind of pivot in conversation a little bit to the bowl game. And here's another question from Billy. Thoughts on the "we don't deserve the bowl and should turn it down," and who should start at QB for the bowl? This is like the most ridiculous. It's like that immediate reaction of getting your asses handed to you, and then you're like, yeah, you know what? We don't deserve. No, there's always those people. There's always "we don't deserve" guy, "shut it all down" guy, right? I disagree. I think pretty obviously. I believe there's benefit at the very least. You get a check for showing up to the bowl. That's pretty great. You know what I mean? The coaches get a bonus for getting to a bowl game. So there's that. I mean, I don't think they're going to turn that down. And I think this conversation is pretty moot already. Ren Baker said, yeah, let's go to this bowl game. That's the athletic director, you guys. And yeah. He said, you know, there's benefits from there. And, you know, I'm glad it's the APR. There's a whole thing. Like, it's open to you. You take it. You know what I mean? You don't.
Yeah. I mean, the student athlete did his job as a student, and he also did his job as an athlete. So let him. I mean, who are we to decide just because our pride is hurt after we got smashed by UTEP? Let the players decide. If they don't want it, if they think they don't deserve to go to the bowl, then let them decide that. I think it's a dumb conversation to have to say that these kids don't deserve to go to a bowl. Those rules, you know, if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the sponsors sponsoring 80 bowl games or whatever it is.
Exactly.
If the opportunity is there, then, I mean, just let them go to the bowl. The bubble, I mean, it's a different conversation to have, but the bubble can burst in a few years of all those bowl games. We might see a reduction, or we might not. There might be 90 bowl games in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, if the bubble burst and people were like, well, did you at least take advantage of it? No, we turned it down. Like, what? What a waste.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I don't know where you go with this pride thing, right? Like, where does it follow? Like, if you had a full, basically, like, guidebook, like a new Old Testament, you know, Leviticus chapter that says, thou shalt not do this because of this. Give me all the whole book. I don't want just snippets of it. That says, you know what, if you lose a game, if you're down at any point in the season by 17 points, even if you win 8 games, you shouldn't go to the bowl game because that, I mean, come on, right? Like, I need the full on, you know, list. Give me the whole moral code. Look at Washington State. They lost to an FCS team to start the season. They're going to go to a bowl game. They had a really great season, turns out. Do they shut it down because they lost to an FCS team? Do they give up and say, well, you know, how can we go to a bowl game knowing that we lost to Eastern Washington? I mean, come on. Do they do that? I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, we got beat up by a conference team with NFL talent. You know? Aaron Jones probably going to go to the NFL. At least get a cup of coffee there in the NFL. He's really good. He reached 200 yards rushing a couple times. He's done this for two seasons now. But the guy's really good. I don't really feel embarrassed by getting roasted by that guy.
And I think if you had the the UTEP game last week and the USM win this week, I think the feeling would be different. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're coming off a win, you're excited about that. Hey, we went from 4 to 5 wins. Let's go to a bowl game. We deserve this.
I agree. Yeah. So I think it's mostly reaction. Like, oh God, I'm watching my team get obliterated again. Allow a 50-yard run. That's embarrassing. Nobody wants to see that. But yeah, I mean, I don't really. Who starts the bowl game? Do you have a preference? I think you gave it to Mason Fine.
I don't have a preference. If Mason Fine can go, let him go. If he's having to manage pain, don't let him go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're basically – I mean, the reason he's starting is because you want him to get experience and you feel like he can produce a winning performance. If he's – the reason he's not starting is because of the pain, this pain tolerance thing. So I think that mitigates some of the gains you get from getting him out there to get experience. I think – what did he start? 8 straight games? 9 straight games?
Something like that.
That's probably enough. I would be fine having more, Mason Fine back him up, back up Alec Morris, and just seeing what we have out there. Because Alec Morris is producing quarterbacking games that are similar in production to Mason Fine's. And so that's fine. And he's a senior, and then we always have the fallback. You know what I mean? So I think it's fine. I think
the difference between Morris and Fine, there's a couple of differences. One being Morris protecting the ball a little bit better, running towards the sideline and throwing it away, which can frustrate you. Or versus Mason Fine, who when nothing's open, he'll tuck it and run it and get you a first down.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think last 2 weeks, Alec Morris has led an offense that produced 24 points, you know, and under good circumstances and under bad circumstances. And I would be happy if in the bowl game against maybe Idaho or against San Diego State, against who else do they have on here? Somebody else predicted another game.
Hawaii or something?
Yeah, Hawaii. If we got something like that, Navy would destroy us. They might put up 75 on us, like they did SME. Or what was it? If we put up 24 points, I'll be happy with that. Because again, that's about the season average, and I would say it's about 85%, 90% of what this offense can produce that they've shown they can produce. It's been 12 games. It's been 12 games. We know what this offense is. We've seen them at their best. We've seen them at their worst. And, you know, it would be a miracle if they were just like, you know what? Now we're just going to walk up and down the field. Here's 55 points for you, all from the offense. It's not going to happen. It's not. So I don't really think you get any gains out of sticking Mason Fine out there if he's hurt. If he's fine, everything's good, yeah, sure. I don't think you throw Morris out there just because you're like, you know, it's your senior year. I mean, the dude's he's been in, you know, national championship games. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he's got 2 national championship rings. It would be kind of awkward for him to get another if we win a bowl game. If he gets another ring while backing up Mason Fine. I think that's kind of awful, but
that would be a very strange career. But you know what? I don't have any national championship bowl rings. I don't have any. Yeah, I don't have any bowl rings. So I mean, I'll take it. I know it's like I can't knock it. So it would be a crazy career. You know. All right, let's talk these bowl games. I think was it you that tweeted the list of bowls? Somebody tweeted.
That was not me. Yeah, I haven't been paying attention to that stuff.
Yeah, I don't really like it because some of these predictions, everybody has a prediction, like every site, and not all of them are well thought out. I mean, when you've been a fan of like North Texas football, Conference USA football for a long time, you get the sense, you realize that nobody really pays attention to this down deep in college football, and they're just relying on whatever. Like, They don't really pay attention. I get it. It's fine. That's why we do this podcast, because we pay attention.
Sort of.
I didn't watch the Iron Bowl. You know what game I watched? I watched the North Texas game.
Yeah.
So, all right. Predictions here. This is from, I don't even know where this is from. This dude has it. People were tweeting at me. The Armed Forces Bowl, Navy versus North Texas, that's in Fort Worth. I don't know if that's possible. They'd stick us in there, because I think that one's a Pac-12 versus Mountain West game. But you know what? I think that'll be a good one. Fort Worth, Texas. When is that game? That's the day before. That's like, is that New Year's Eve? Is that usually New Year's Eve? I know I went to one. I saw Cal versus Air Force once. The other possibility, Las Vegas Bowl, San Diego State, North Texas. I don't know if that's possible either. I don't know if I'd like that one. It's Vegas, though. December 17th. I'd be fine with that. San Diego State's good. They'd probably destroy us. The Arizona Bowl, December 30th, North Texas versus Idaho. That seems more realistic because the Arizona Bowl is another one of those, like, what is this bowl, you know? And
is that in Tucson?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so then that's one of those bowls that you're gonna that needs people. Like, it's not gonna have first pick. It has it's low on the totem pole. We'd play Idaho. I don't know. We beat Idaho. We paid them to come to North Texas in 2013.
Back in 2013, yeah.
Yeah, we whooped them. Idaho was also in the conference way back when, and the people that remember the New Orleans Bowls in the early 2000s remember the time when we play Idaho regularly. But yeah, SB Nation has this plan in the Vegas Bowl.
Sure, players would love that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying, hey, look, it'd be great if we got to a destination place. It's for the players. I don't know how many North Texas people, fans, are going to travel out there, especially on relatively short notice. I don't know. For me personally, I probably will not make a bowl that is outside of driving distance, just because I got a kid, man.
Yeah, Brandon. I agree too.
Yeah, so
I used to have a student who was an alum from the New Orleans Bowl games.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him back in 2013 about them going to Heart of Dallas Bowl. And he was like, oh man, that sucks. And I was like, why? You know, they're going to get all the fans there. And he's like, oh, I'd rather go to, you know, New Orleans is where he went, or the Bahamas Bowl, yeah, or Hawaii Bowl, just because the players want to go and have fun at these destinations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, for the players, those would be really great. And maybe for the handful of fans that could swing that, and you know, it's like not a huge deal. That'd be great. I think one of the problems with not having a dedicated bowl that we always go to, kind of like maybe like the Rose Bowl in the Big Ten, right? You kind of know where you're gonna go, so you can maybe kind of plan that kind of thing, right? If you're like a long time Big Ten fan, you're like, we have a good team this year, we might make the Rose Bowl. You know, let's kind of plan a trip around it. For North Texas, we're like, yeah, it could either be here at home for most people in Dallas, or it could be the Bahamas, or maybe Hawaii, or it could be, you know, I mean, it's like it's all over the country, so it's kind of hard to keep.
Stretch.
Yeah, like, do we keep $3,000 in the bank ready for this spur of the moment trip, or do we, you know, or what?
Yeah, drive half an hour to Dallas.
Yeah, like, you just have to be ready at all times to buy a ticket to anywhere. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of lame about it, but, you know, I'll take it. The Heart of Dallas Bowl was fun. For me, it was a trip because I drove up and had a good time. I rushed the field. I threw the pants out that, like, because I was kind of drunk and I fell. I skimmed my knee. But I skimmed it on the Cotton Bowl turf there. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to obviously throw these pants away because I tore them. But I will keep this patch. So I have that somewhere in my memorabilia.
Nice.
Shoebox. And that was a good time. It was a good time. And, you know, I think when you see, like, Zach Orr come back or some of these other guys come back and they take a picture with the trophy, I mean, it means something to them. It was... For them, that was like a cap on a good year, 9-3, right? Especially for North Texas. Mm-hmm. Bowl games are meaningless, but they have meaning, you know? Just, and I said this before, in a way that anything that people experience has some value and has some meaning, so you don't want to knock it completely, knock people's experiences, you know? So I'm excited about this. I'm like pretty sure we're going to a bowl game. I think the North Texas fan training in me is a little concerned that something's going to happen, that we're not going to be able to go, or that we're going to just get an opponent that's going to completely destroy us.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't know. I feel like we have that kryptonite where we're like, we get to say, hey, well, considering the circumstances, you know, I can't be mad. I don't know if I can be any more disappointed.
I think the players over the past 3 or 4 years have earned, after the lows that they've gone through.
Yeah.
And the turnaround that they did this year, they've earned a good reprieve, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have no shame in North Texas making a bowl this season. I did not expect it. I thought 7 wins is possible, but I was fully prepared for a 3-win season. You know,
yeah.
I was like, this is what, if that's what happens, it's going to be it. And, you know, I'll be okay with it. We'll look forward to maybe 2017. So, yeah, I'm good with it. I'll take whatever bowl.
Yeah. And it's kind of I'm kind of segueing here for next year. You know, we took this team that was, 68 scholarship players with so much attrition, a lot of the talent that we had last year that went 1-11, and we took that team and went and got 5 wins. So it kind of excites me for the future. What kind of talent can we bring in? What can we do with the team that we currently have or will have next year? And how fun is next year going to be?
Yeah, I know. I mean, the scary part is that means that the team has expectations that it did not have this season. And I will say two and a half tests this season, maybe one upcoming, where there was pressure, where there was maybe some expectation. North Texas was an underdog at UTSA, but there were a lot of people that felt confident that this was going to be a good game and a very winnable game, and North Texas could perform well. Mason Fine didn't have a great game. The running game didn't play well. You know, we couldn't get short yardage runs. And so we kind of blew that opportunity. Okay. The next couple games, they ran into 2 buzzsaws. But you would like to have seen them play better against Western Kentucky. Okay. Southern Miss, that was a great game. So maybe they availed themselves well in that one. But then obviously UTEP was very disappointing. I think common denominator there is that they didn't really play that well on the road, but they play okay at home, so that's good. But you really like to have seen them play better against UTEP. I was expecting a loss. I had that ready to go. I'm like, okay, we could lose. I wrote in the preview, North Texas could very well play well and still lose this game. So let's be prepared for that. Well, they didn't play well, but they played offensively, played okay, and I thought that's where they'd struggle. They lost. So how do we feel about that? Like you've been saying, I think you laid it out well. We have to keep perspective and realize that this team is not fully formed yet. Next season, those expectations, we can have them maybe. And we can, you know, it's a different team, but it's also a continuation of the same story. So I'm excited also. I think one thing I do want to note. T. Goree and Willie Robinson were kicked off the team.
Really?
Like full on kicked off?
I didn't see that report.
So this is on the message board. Someone was like, I totally heard Dave Barnett say that they were dismissed. And somebody backed it up, said, I didn't listen to the coach's show, but they said, yeah, it sounded that way at the coach's show. Like he was talking about them like they were gone off the team. Now, there's always an opportunity for guys to come back to the team, to return. It's not completely unprecedented, but it seems like they're done.
Well, that's disappointing to hear. The impact it'll have on the roster next year, I mean, Thaddeus Thompson was the leading receiver. He's gone. Tigery was the second leading receiver. He's gone. Kenny Byers, third leading receiver. He's gone. You got Turner Smiley as a junior. And I'm going down the list here. Willie Robinson, the next one. He's gone. Jeff Wilson and Willie Ivory are the next two best receivers that are coming back.
Isn't Willie Robinson a junior?
He's a junior, yeah, but you said he's been dismissed from the team.
No. Oh, yeah, really. Sorry, I thought I heard you. I heard Willie Robinson, and I thought Willie Ivory. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My bad. So the top three receivers coming back are Turner Smiley, Jeffrey Wilson, and Willie Ivory. So we're back to square one.
Basically. Oh, man. I don't know. I think we had this conversation on the Slack thing. Wide receiver, it'd be great to have a guy, number one guy, that could, you know, hit home runs. But I don't think you need that. I think you can get wide receivers and kind of anywhere. Like, I mean, we turned a defensive back into a third leading receiver. Kenny Byers was pretty decent. And I wonder if with a better offensive line and a more poised quarterback, he wouldn't have, you know, produced even more. Because there were a couple times he was running wide open, he was missed, or he just completely ignored. You know, I think receiver is one of those positions that you can fill pretty easily. There's a lot of, I mean, it's not necessary. You don't necessarily need a height requirement there. You can get 5'8 guys that have played, you know, long
sure,
careers
in
the NFL.
Yeah. You can get a 5'8 guy in Kenny Byers' position, in the A position in this offense, and he could get, you know, 800 yards. Yeah. But you need the right quarterback and you need the right guy in that position. I mean, I'll half agree with you. I think you could get just any other wide receiver and get to a bowl game. But if you want to win a championship, you got to have that Richie James, Tywan Taylor, those types of guys.
I agree. I don't want to undervalue the wide receiver position, but I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
Yeah.
Like, hey, and guys, I think it's not unreasonable that we couldn't fill those spots.
Yeah. And I think we underutilized Tigery. I think if we had moved him around to like the Y spot, I think you could have had a bigger season.
I agree. Yeah, there's no word on what team rules exactly that they broke. But Seth Luttrell seemed pretty, what's the word? Pretty angry about the whole thing and pretty disgusted about their activities. I don't know. So we cannot comment any further, like not intelligently. I asked a couple people. We'll see if they have any answers. So the next time we do a broadcast, I don't know. Yeah, when that will be, probably leading up to the bowl game, we'll talk about the bowl game and definitely wrapping up the season. There's not enough time in this episode to do that. We might even have some special guests. Talk about the season, kind of recap things because, I mean, officially it's over. There's not another game on the schedule yet. And I don't think we'll find out for like a week or two or something. I think they have to wait on like South Alabama's results and some other things.
Yeah, a few more weeks or a couple more weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're kind of in a weird zone right now as fans. We'll see. I guess we can turn our attention to basketball, right?
Well, you're a Spurs fan, so.
Yeah, I am a Spurs fan, so, I mean, it's good for me, at least in that respect. Like, you're a Mavericks fan, right? That's not working out.
No, I grew up in Austin, so Spurs. But I stopped following NBA after a while. Okay. I got disappointed.
It happens. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show. Hopefully we made you feel a little bit better. Thanks to Billy, who jumped in there with some questions. Those are good questions. I think I'll leave you with this. North Texas is in a good spot. 5 wins is great considering the preseason. That last game against UTEP was very, very disappointing. But it really has no bearing on the next game. If it's Idaho, it's a new game. It's a new opportunity. there's a chance for some of these guys like Jeffrey Wilson, for one, to get a little bit more healthy. We made it through the whole season without losing major parts, you know, significant parts for the season. And that was a big thing we were worried about. Like, I think in the preseason we were saying, hey, is this line going to be injured? Are they going to be, you know, devastated? Are we going to have to, like, put a defensive lineman out there or something? Like, what's going to happen? Or, you know, does Jeffrey Wilson get lost for the season? And if he does, is Willie Ivory ready to carry the load? Jeffrey Wilson was hurt, but he's back. Willie Ivory can carry the load. The offensive line is still there. Maybe they're not so great, but they're still there. They're healthy. They're playing. You know, that's good. We made it to the end mostly intact. So I feel good about a couple-week break and a game to prepare for. That's going to be fun. I think we might, you know, bowl games are even more ridiculous because those change. You get to prepare for one opponent for a couple weeks. It's just, you never know what can happen in those games. So.
Yeah, and I think Latrell really raised the standards. Like you said, like you mentioned, there's no expectations going into the season. And now he's giving us a baseline to go into next season. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Like, they play hard. I like that. I like that they play hard. They, you know, they're tough. Maybe there's a little bit too much after the play activity.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, other things I saw that I think are ridiculous. Seth Luttrell's not going to Houston. I mean, it's not going to happen. I think there's opportunity with all these coaches moving around hither and thither. Tom Herman to Texas, Charlie Strong obviously getting fired. Maybe David Bailiff getting fired at Rice. With all these guys getting fired, people moving around, I think there's an opportunity for recruiting to pick up a little bit. I don't think it's a good thing that UTSA made a bowl game because, you know, their wave is riding higher. I think it's good that Southern Miss did not make Southern Methodist did not make a bowl game, and they got destroyed in their final game. And a coach might leave and go to Baylor. I think that puts a little damper on their recruiting efforts. So
it would be nice to be able to go to a bowl game with our first year coach and them not after 2 years. But, you know, that's no hard feelings.
Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Again, this is the official goodbye. You can find me on Twitter, Mean Green Nation. You find Aldo on Twitter, Aldo Vigna. He's on the message board. I'm on the message board. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
On MySpace.
I do still have a MySpace somewhere. I check it out sometimes. Like, God, look at that. Terrible.